Good morning, everyone. Certainly is a blessing to be here at this conference. Certainly is a blessing to me to come back up north to the people that I certainly learned to love over the years. It's a great blessing to come back and be with you all and have an opportunity to preach God's Word. My subject I've been given today is, in the rock, we see Jesus. Let us today consider a rock. A rock may be defined as, in the English dictionary, a large mass of stone or stony matter. A stone, hard mineral matter, rock. In the Hebrew text of our scriptures in the Old Testament, it's defined as properly a cliff or sharp rock as compressed, generally a rock or boulder, figuratively a refuge. Also an edge, as precipitous, edge, rock times sharp, stone, strength, strong. In the Greek, it's from a mass of rock, literally or figuratively, a rock. As a young boy going to school, I was blessed because my neighbors took me to Sunday school and I learned some old time songs. And one I remember particularly as a young boy was "On Christ, the Solid Rock, I Stand." And I don't know whether all of you can see this picture or not. I don't know whether you know what that rock is. But that is the Rock of Gibraltar. It's at the entrance of the Mediterranean Sea from the Atlantic. And as a young boy, when I sang that song, "On the Solid Rock I Stand," I pictured that in my mind. That is a huge rock. And that rock has stood for the centuries. And so, when we think about the rock as a type of Jesus Christ, certainly that's what I pictured in my mind. Now, think about a rock, the characteristics of it. It's hard. It's strong. It's unmovable. It's endurable. It's timeless. And how wonderful we have that wonderful picture of our God in Jesus Christ. When we consider the rock, songwriters have ably pictured it to us in song, and I think we ought to consider it this morning somewhat. In your hymnals, turn to page 251. Very familiar song should be to the saints. "He hideth my soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. Picturing the rock, I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, O glory to God for such a Redeemer as mine. When clothed in his brightness, transported, I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Turn over to page 254. Page 254. You know, the scriptures in the New Testament, it tells us that when we gather together, we're to sing hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And these songs are written to us to honor our God and in how great he is. In 254, we have the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no longer linger, no, these for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Going to page 266. In times like these, and oh, what time we're in times like these. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. Yes, I do. Amen. In times like these, I have an anchor. Amen. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, be very sure. I'm very sure. Amen. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure. I'm very sure my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Page 267. A shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide. A shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land. A weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night. Think of that rock shading you. A shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright. A shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the storm. In time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm. Page 268. I crossed the page. The rock that is higher than I. Oh yes, this rock is much higher than I. Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep, and rough seems the path to the goal, and sorrows sometimes how they sweep like tempest down over the soul. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, sometimes how long seems the day, and sometimes how weary my feet, but toiling in life's dusty way, the rock's blessed shadow, how sweet. Oh, near to the rock let me keep, if blessings or sorrows prevail, or climbing the mountain way steep, or walking the shadowy vale. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. Then let's go to page 274. A lot of songs written about our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then be in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. As we consider the rock as a type of Christ in the Old Testament, let's consider first of all that he is the creator of his people. Deuteronomy 32:18. Not 18, but, yeah, 32:18. Deuteronomy 32:18, of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. The one who begat us is the rock. Oh, we ought not to forget him. Amen. He is the rock. As we all also ought to know him as the strength of his people. Deuteronomy 32 in verse 4, we read, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Think about it now, this rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Oh, how stable this rock is. And he is our strength. It's only in him that we have strength. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. Oh, what greater one to place our trust in? He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 1. This is a psalm to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 67 and 62 and verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Not only that, we see the rock as our defense and refuge. Psalms 31 in verse 2. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily, for thou art my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. Verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore thy name's sake lead me and guide me. Psalms 94, verse 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Not only that, this is the rock of our salvation. Deuteronomy 32:15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Our salvation is only in Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. Psalms 95, 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Oh, when we come together to worship God, how we ought to lift our voices in song to the rock of our salvation. Turning now to Exodus chapter 17, we want to look at a particular rock in Horeb. Exodus 17. Verse, beginning with verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. They came up out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They came into the wilderness. And as they journeyed in the wilderness, we find that it was a desert place. Now, think about being out in the desert. And I mean, it's hot. That sun shines, and it is dry, and it is hot. What do you need? Oh, you need water. In fact, it comes to the point where you just can't go on without water. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? If you've got a need, who do you go to? What do we need to do? They were having a fit with Moses over the matter. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? I mean a million and a half people. I mean at least that many. And I mean all their cattle and everything. And here you are out in the desert. No water. Need water to live. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto the people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in sight of the elders of Egypt. Let's notice this rock at Horeb. Horeb really means a desert place. It was the Sinai Mountains. It was in the wilderness. It was in a desert place. Let's think about this rock. In appearance, this rock was dry and barren, much like that picture I held up. And very unlikely to afford water. So Christ, in his outward appearance, seemed unlikely to carnal eyes to afford spiritual waters of grace and salvation. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 2. Verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." When Jesus came to this earth, as far as his physical person was concerned, he was just another Jew. There was nothing about him but an outward appearance that we would desire him. Not a picture of a handsome man like they try to picture Christ on some pictures. No. There was nothing about Jesus Christ outwardly that we would desire him. How wonderful it was that that rock sent forth waters in abundance. Now, think about it. They needed water to live. We need the water of life to live. We need Jesus Christ. Amen. To live. You know, there again, the things you can think of when you're growing up as a young person and hearing about these stories about this rock being smitten out in the desert place. How much water came forth? Oh, Was it just a little stream? Was it just a little trickle? Oh, no. It gushed forth. So much so that it certainly could water 1.5 million or 2 million people and their cattle also. That was a great outflowing river. And we don't see much of it in Exodus 17 here, but let's go to Psalms chapter 78, verse 15. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock. I mean, did this rock put forth? Oh my, what a great amount of water came forth and caused the waters to run down like rivers. I mean, more than one, rivers. Verse 20. Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Oh, God provided water in the wilderness for his people. That was water of life to them. And Jesus Christ is the water of life to us. So Christ, to the amazement of men, sends forth living waters. Without Christ, you cannot live. He sends forth living waters in abundance to all those who believe in him. Amen. This water in the wilderness was for all those that would drink. Right. Everyone. Turn my pages here. That rock sent forth water to the people of Israel when they were ready to perish for thirst, there being no way to relieve them. That was the only way they were going to be relieved, is that they had water. So Jesus Christ refreshes the souls of poor sinners that come to him, where they can find no help or comfort or refreshment anywhere else. Mm-hmm. You can search this world all over, and you're not going to find anything to satisfy that thirst or to comfort you in any way, except through that living water, which is Jesus Christ. But without him, we must perish eternally. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. The rock was smitten before it yielded water. So Jesus Christ was smitten of God and crucified, that his precious blood might be poured forth to consummate the redemption of our souls. This rock was smitten for a rebellious people who murmured against God and deserved no such grace or favor from him. So Christ was slain for us who were rebels, and enemies of him by wicked works. We deserve nothing but eternal wrath and displeasure. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Here's something we're not to be ignorant about. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. We just read about that smiting of the rock back there. For they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, for all these years, it never came to my mind and gripped my mind like it did when I began to study this. When that rock was smitten and that water came forth and flowed down as rivers, was that just one time? What kept them drinking all through the wilderness? That water supplied them all through the wilderness till they came up to go into the land. That was continually there. Christ was with them. That water of life was with them in all their journey. John 4, verse 13. John 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, that is the water out of the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. What a Savior.
Amen.
Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 20. Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and give forth his water, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, for thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Now they had come up close to being able to enter into the land. And it says that they were without water. verse 1, I think, says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there, and there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." Now, this time it's different. They were to go to the rock, and they were to simply speak to the rock. If we are athirst, all we have to do is speak to the rock. We need to bring our needs to Jesus Christ. He is that rock. He is that living water. He can supply and fulfill our every need. Now, Moses committed a terrible error here. Let's read on. "And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? He was angry with the people. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. That rock didn't need to be smitten again. That rock only needed to be smitten once. And our Lord and Savior was only smitten once. And that was once for all. He no longer must be smitten again. But I notice the faithfulness of God in this. Even though Moses disobeyed, he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly. And the congregations drank, and their beasts also." Oh, that living water was there available. All I had to do was speak to the rock to give them drink. That's all we need is Jesus today. All we need to do is speak to him. Because he died once for our sins. He was smitten once for us. Notice verse 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring the congregation into the land which I have given them." They didn't get to go into the land, Moses and Aaron, because of their disobedience. Did the people receive drink? Yes. Our God is faithful. That rock gave forth water. And our Savior gives forth that living water. There's some other personal considerations this morning about this rock. Psalms chapter 40. Verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock."
Amen.
That rock is Jesus. "He set my feet upon a rock." He did bring me up out of the pit, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. My friend, it's only upon the rock, Christ Jesus, that you can have your goings established. It's only in him. in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Oh, we might be quite free with our tongue. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and there again we can go back to children's songs, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Are you building your house upon a rock? Are you building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you hearing him? I mean, are you obeying him? Does every word mean something to you that causes you to change from what you're doing? That's building upon the rock. And the rain descended. All troubles come. I mean, sometimes it comes down like a flood. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
Jesus saved me in 1952. And my life, not perfectly, but my life has been built on nothing but Jesus Christ. And that's the only place that it's going to stand. Because it's solid. It's dependable. It's eternal. And you can depend fully upon it. Feebly turn the pages. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Oh, build your house upon the rock, Christ Jesus. One other consideration this morning, Matthew chapter 16. I can't exhaust all this on the rock. There's so much. Matthew 16, and verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, a small rock, a little rock. And all of us who are born again and saved, we're little rocks. We're out of the huge rock. You go to 1 Peter, and you'll find that in chapter 2. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this huge rock, I will build my church, my assembly, my assembly, he said. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because it's a rock. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. In fact, it will smite the unbelievers. It will smite the wicked. It will smite hell. And we see that the church then is built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. What a firm foundation for God's people assembled at his church, founded upon the rock. He is our stability. Our stability is in him. He's our head. We follow him. As he's put forth in his word, we follow him. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20. I'm not 6, chapter 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Yes, Jesus is the rock. Is Jesus your rock? You know, there's something about it. If you're on the rock, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll close with this verse. In Psalm 40, we've seen that he established our goings. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. If we're on the rock, be steadfast. Don't be movable. Don't be wishy-washy. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord, because it's built upon the rock. That's my message.